It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. Let's turn together in our Bibles to the book of Acts. This is the last quarter, and for some, this is the last time I get to speak to you in chapel. So I'm thinking particularly of those of you who are seniors who are about to graduate. But for all of us who will be finishing this year and perhaps doing internships as well. So I've chosen a passage from Acts chapter 20, thinking about gospel ministry and you heading out into gospel ministry. I'd like to read chapter 20, beginning at verse 18b and reading through the end of the chapter. Hear God's holy word. Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 18b. You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again, and they accompanied him to the ship. Let us pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we acknowledge this to be your word, given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we ask, O Lord, that by that same Spirit's power, you would speak to our hearts and our minds, that you would change us, that you would conform us to the image of Christ. And Lord, that we might learn from Paul's example how to be faithful ministers. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. We know the context of this passage. It's well known to us. Paul has been traveling around. He's had one tumultuous ministry after another. He decides that he wants to go as quickly as he can to Jerusalem, so he passes by Ephesus, doesn't stop there, but he calls the Ephesian elders to come to him. And here is a recounting of his 3 years of ministry in Ephesus. But while it sounds like Paul, this is in fact Luke writing Paul's words. So this is not autobiography, but Luke's theological narrative of all the words that Paul said. Paul said probably a lot more that's not recorded. So we have a perspective on Paul's ministry from Luke's eyes. And I want us for a few minutes today to take a look at Paul's ministry as he recounts to the Ephesian elder preachers. We want to hear his final advice given to them, because it's Paul's final advice to some of you. You're about to head out into gospel ministry. And he's giving an account of his life. And I dare say that he's presenting a challenge to every one of us. How does our ministry compare to Paul's? Yes, none of us are called to write the scripture. None of us have these direct revelations like he talks about. The Holy Spirit tells me again and again what exactly is going to happen. But Paul introduces his ministry. Let's take a look at the Bibles that we have in front of us. He introduces the conception of the whole counsel of God, which is the content of what he's been giving at verse 27. And that concept had been seen in 18b, the first verse that we read. But as he's giving the content of the whole counsel of God, what I want to focus on is not the content of his preaching, but the manner and the method of his ministry. So this whole counsel of God is his theme, and where does he minister it? He ministers in private homes as well as publicly. And he does it with both Jews and Greeks. So it seems to me, in verse 19, he's serving the Lord with humility, with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. He didn't shrink from, first of all, giving anything that is profitable, doing it, notice in verse 20, in public and from house to house. But then in verse 21, he gives a slightly different nuance. In 21, he says, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So what does verse 21 look like? Verse 21 looks to me like our courses in evangelism and apologetics. He's not ministering in the households of the faithful, but he's specifically ministering to Jews outside of the household, Gentiles outside of the household, concerning what? Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we call evangelism, or this is what we call apologetics. So Paul's ministry, already in these introductory verses, is telling us that I've been preaching and teaching in homes and in public places, but I've also been evangelizing and doing apologetics among those who are outside of the household of God. So that's a little bit of the content of what he's been doing. But look at the nature of his ministry in the verses that we've read. His ministry was dangerous. People were trying to kill him. And you know the verses before 18b, of all the different problems. It was dangerous. It was intense. He's ministering night and day. It was with tears. It was exhausting. Verse 19 says it was done in humility. Verse 33 tells us through his ministry, he coveted no one's gold or silver. In fact, in verse 34, he's doing it for no pay at all. As a matter of fact, not only is he doing it for no pay, he's working with his own hands so that he has the privilege of this kind of ministry in verse 34. And he tells us that he's certain of two things. In verse 25, he says, I know that I'll never see my dear friends again. So I hope for those of you who graduate, we'll see you again. But we are saying goodbye to you. And that he's been faithful and guiltless of any man's blood in verse 26. Now, it does seem a bit peculiar to say in verse 26, I'm guiltless of any man's blood. Paul, of course, was a bloody persecutor before this time. But the context is a clear one from Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33 talks about the watchman being held responsible. If he falls asleep on his post and enemies come in and kill someone, then that watchman is responsible. He's held accountable for the blood that is shed. So that's the meaning. He looks his congregation in the eye and he says, I have been faithful for these 3 years. There have been wolves, but I have warned you. And part of his message relates to the very difficult task that you'll be entering into when you graduate, when you're in the life of the church, of dealing with wolves who come out of the congregation itself. So it does seem to me that Paul is speaking about life in ministry, what his life was like, what our lives should reflect, and how do we put it together? Brothers and sisters, will we be able to testify after 3 years of gospel ministry that the people will be able to say, I have come not for the salary package that you've offered? Will they know that you're not ministering for the big bucks? Well, if you're Presbyterian, that's almost a given. But you can still lust over small salaries. You can still be an unfaithful workman, even at low pay. And Paul is being very clear here. Not only have I not lusted after someone's silver and gold, but my own hands have provided. And so are we so ready to leave this place and to minister in the name of Jesus Christ that it simply doesn't matter the financial arrangement that is done in the congregation, that we are ready to work with our own hands, to work in business, to do whatever it takes so that we have the privilege of ministering. What else do we see? Well, we see that as we think about gospel ministry, the life of the minister is not ancillary to the message of the minister. Let me say that again. Our lives matter. How we walk among God's people is of the highest importance. They look to us. And by the way, just like your kids can find out very quickly if you've got, you know, some dark side that you can hide from the congregation, you can't hide it from the kids. Well, we don't want to have any dark sides before the congregation. And Paul does not hesitate to ask the Ephesian elders, search out my life. I'm standing here telling you that I have lived this way. And Paul was confident that no one would gainsay him. As a matter of fact, Paul mentions in his own writings that he ministered in certain characteristics. Paul says to the Corinthians, I ministered among you with weakness, with fear and trembling, with humility, and with boldness. We see that in 1 Corinthians 2:3 and 2 Corinthians 10:1. So the nature of his ministry is not self-confidence. The nature of his ministry is trembling and weakness. The nature of his ministry is humility and boldness that go hand in hand. Furthermore, Paul specifically says to both the Corinthians and the Philippians that the believers should follow his example. 1 Corinthians 11:1 and Philippians 4:9. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And then he says, what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So brothers, you've been here, some of you, 3 years, and you've had the world's best instruction. That doesn't matter much if your heart's not right. It doesn't matter much if you don't graduate from this place and have confidence in the Holy Spirit, who will protect you and preserve you and keep your feet from stumbling. We can't find excuses for a poor life. Paul says here to guard yourselves. We're called to be shepherds who guard the flock of Jesus Christ. But brothers, we've got to start with ourselves. And by the way, we do it in humility, as Paul says. We do it acknowledging that we don't have the strength in ourselves, but we have the responsibility to walk in humility before the people of God. It is a work of the Spirit. It's only the Spirit who can give the things that we need. And by the way, when our children ask us for a second helping of potatoes and the bowl is full on the table, we're glad to hand the bowl over to the child who wants a second helping of potatoes. The potatoes are there. Well, how much more does the Spirit of the living God want to give to us all that we need for gospel ministry? It's His ministry. And when we request of Him that which we need, He is ready and able to give us everything that we need. So brothers and sisters, as you leave, whether it's for an internship this summer or whether you graduate, we need to give that which is profitable. We need to give that which builds up, that which is helpful. And we do it not just on Sunday morning. Paul says he's doing it every day. He's doing it in households. So we do Bible studies during the week. We do it ourselves and for our family. But we're daily with our congregation as often as we can be. We're interacting. We're giving to them that which is helpful to them. We have an eye on heaven itself. And we see the people in our congregation as the Lord's people on their way to heaven. And we protect them from wolves. So in our preaching, we have that bitter and that sharp part of protecting, making sure that current theories and current themes that are detrimental to the church are rebuked, so that the people of God move together toward that heavenly goal. We give to them the whole counsel of God. We give them the teaching from Genesis to Revelation. There's no part that we leave out. We share the imprecatory psalms with them, as well as Psalm 2 or Psalm 110. We share the whole counsel of God with God's people. And we've got to be ready to say, you can look at my life. You can examine my motives. I stand before you, and I am not guilty of any man's blood. Well, if you've been listening to me, you've perhaps been a little bit intimidated. You've perhaps been a little bit scared. As I stand here preaching before you, my knees aren't quite quivering, but it's an awesome task that the Lord puts upon every one of us. And I want to share with you that the older I get, the more unable I become. The older I get, the more I realize that the strength that I have isn't worth much. It's the Holy Spirit who guides us and directs us. So as you graduate, I beg you, I admonish you, I implore Turn to the source of power. Turn to the source of holiness. Turn to the source of righteousness. And do it constantly. And He is more than able. He is delighted in us when we go before Him with these requests. Again, we think about being fathers to our own families, and we're delighted to provide when we can all the needs of our own children. So as Paul spoke to the Ephesian elders, the end of the story is also clear. The end of the story at the end of the chapter, and when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. And they embraced Paul and kissed him. Well, we certainly don't do that in America, do we? Maybe if we're in Cyprus or certain parts of South America. But notice, even after 3 years of gospel ministry, the close bond between the pastor and his elders. How much they love him. And they love him because they know that he first loved them. We can't teach you to love at the seminary. There's no practical theology 101, how to love. That can only come from a broken heart. Only broken hearts know how to love. Hearts that are full of themselves are simply full of themselves. The broken heart has room for somebody else. That's what Paul had. And that's also a necessary part of gospel ministry. So examine your hearts, dear brothers. Is there room for someone else? Is there room for that congregation? Will they know that you love them? Again, words are cheap. Actions aren't. Clearly, Paul has shown with his actions the nature of his heart. And so it's time to go. It's time to minister. And let's have Paul as a beautiful example of what we would call successful pastoral ministry. Thank you very much. Amen. Amen. Professor Reed will lead us in our closing psalm.
Let's turn to 111A.